How do you leverage emotional intelligence to create the life, relationship, and business of your dreams? I've spent over a decade studying, speaking, and coaching on emotional intelligence, and in this podcast, I share the exact principles and strategies my clients have used to earn seven-figure incomes, heal their relationships, get engaged after years of failed relationships, and step into their authentic power to become the leaders they came here to be. Let's do this. Welcome back to episode 222 of the Marcia Miyake Show. This month inside of the EQ Academy, we have focused on creating a new identity, or it's often referred to as identity shifting. This is different to shape shifting. This is not like woo. This is changing your self-perception so that you can create a new reality. And we go into this in depth in terms of what is required. And when we think about creating a new identity or identity shifting, and a lot of these manifestation practices, they can sound a little bit like woo and magical or mystical, and it's really not. It's really very logical, based in science. And there's a formula. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be born in a certain family. You don't have to look a certain way. You follow the formula, you get the results. And that's what we delved in this month. And this week, we created more understanding around the emotions that we will be feeling when we create this new identity. So let me backtrack for a second. You might be thinking, like, Mars, why are we trying to create a new identity again? Well, the identity that you have right now, the version of yourself that you are right now, is a perfect fit for the life that you have created right now, which is why this is your current life. If you want something more, if you want to have more impact, if you want to have more love, if you want to have more income, then you actually have to become a different version of you. And when we look at the formula, the version of you is comprised of a new set of thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. And this week inside of the Academy, we understood more the emotions piece of it. And I really wanted to pull in a lesson here to share with you, because this is something that I find in my coaching practice. I probably encounter this little challenge multiple times during the week when I do my one-on-one clients. And that is this perception that the future self, the future me that I'm trying to create, who has all the success, all the love, all the health, all the wealth, whatever it is that you want, that she's going to feel so different than you do now, that you're going to just be like vibing high all the time, that you're going to be always in these higher frequency emotions. And that's actually not the truth. So when we get to the version of ourselves that we are creating, we will still have some of these emotions that we have today that we label as bad or uncomfortable or unpleasant. However, the way we respond to them is going to be different. And because we respond to them differently, our outer world will reflect a different reality. And so one of the women inside of the Academy asked this question. It said, how do I shift from identifying with the feeling? So when we get caught up in a negative emotion and a negative feeling, how do I not let that continue? And to explain that, I want to go back and give you some foundations around understanding the difference between emotions and feelings. So emotions are instinctive, they're primal, they're primary, and they're short in duration. So for example, if something happens, basically your emotion is the response to a trigger. Like something happens and you're not even deciding to have this emotion, it comes naturally. You feel angry, you feel sad, you feel jealous. That emotion that arises is primary. You have no control over it. And then it dissipates. It loses its intensity, right? Now, what you do with that emotion and your view of that emotion is going to dictate your feeling. So if I feel justified in my emotion, I may double down on that emotion and decide I'm really going to be angry and I'm going to hold the emotion of anger and I'm going to decide to feel angry, and that can maintain for longer. Now, emotionally intelligent people, it's not that they don't feel anger or sadness or imposter syndrome or all of those emotions. It's not that they don't feel them. It's that we become very effective at processing our emotions, moving through our emotions. It's very different from avoiding and denying the emotion, right? So the opposite of emotional intelligence would be someone who says, oh, I'm not emotional. I don't feel emotions, right? And acting like they're not human and they don't have these instinctive primitive emotions. We all do. However, when we decide to judge our emotion, here's another thing that we do. So either I can double down on my anger, or a little bit later, maybe a couple minutes later, I can decide, wow, I got way too angry at that. And now what do I feel? Shame. Now I have judgment to myself about the emotion that I had, rather than witnessing the emotion, making an observation about whether it was an accurate response to the situation, and moving on. People who tend to be like resentful and like just like vibrate at a lower frequency, they're just not effective at processing their emotions. They tend to hold on to these negative emotions. So how I like to explain the difference between an emotion and a feeling is that, so number one, we're never trying to get rid of these like quote unquote bad emotions. That's impossible. Your fear, your anger is useful. Those emotions will move you into action. It's just feeling them at appropriate times and feeling them for an appropriate duration. That is very key here. So the emotion comes up, the emotion of anger comes up. It's primary, it's instinctive. It lasts for a few seconds. Now I can make an observation of it and be like, you know what, Mars? That actually wasn't that bad. It's okay. I can have compassion for the other person. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're feeling emotional. Now I can choose to feel, you know what? I'm going to feel empathy for that person instead. That person that did me wrong. That person that just went off on me for like no reason. That unleashed on me today for no reason. This actually happened, by the way. Now I can choose to feel compassion for that person versus holding on to the anger for how that person treated me. That's the difference. So now if I decide to have compassion, I have processed that emotion because I have decided, I've reflected, and I've decided that I don't want to hold on to that anger. Conversely, I can say, that biatch, like, I can't believe she was like that to me. How rude, how this, and I can hold on to it. And now I'm going to hold that feeling, which is now a choice. See the difference there? The emotion is not a choice. The feeling is a choice. So anger is not a choice. But if I want to hold that anger and turn it into resentment, that's a choice. And that's the difference between who you are now and who you ultimately want to become. It's not that that woman is never going to feel bad. She will. And in fact, I would argue that the more ambitious you are and the bigger rooms that you get into and the higher caliber of people that you're around, you're actually going to feel imposter syndrome even more frequently, right? Imposter syndrome is just you elevating. It's normal. I never not want to feel imposter syndrome. It would be almost like I'm slowing down my growth. I want to feel that. It's just, what is my judgment of that? What is my assessment of that imposter syndrome? Remember, I believe I said this in a previous episode where I'm like, imposter syndrome is like being so lit you can't believe it. It's like you are so freaking lit you cannot even believe it. So I can decide that imposter syndrome means that I'm growing. I can believe that imposter syndrome means that I'm elevating, or I could, on the flip side, I could say my imposter syndrome means I don't deserve to be there. I'm not worthy. I'm not smart enough. I'm not beautiful enough. Insert the limiting belief. Insert the lies. Right? So you will continue to feel the emotions that we label as bad as your future self, except you will respond to them differently. You will have learned how to process them effectively because remember, you identify as an emotionally intelligent woman. Emotionally intelligent people are not people who never feel emotion. They're just able to process it at a faster rate and effectively than people who either are emotionally avoidant or people who like just sit in the emotion way too long and hold resentment and hold grudges and all of that. Like holding on to an emotion that doesn't feel good in your body is only negatively impacting you. Because anybody else, like if someone is directing anger towards me, like there's only so much airspace, like airtime I'm going to give you before I'm out of there. Like I'm not going to keep entertaining negative energy. So then you got to sit with that negative energy on hating on me or whoever else on your own because I'm not going to participate in that. So understand that sometimes we think by holding on to anger, we're punishing the other person when you are the one that's being punished. Jealousy, the same thing. And that's the other thing. Sometimes if we feel jealous, can you reframe that? Can you give that a different meaning? Number one, jealousy can be just evidence that that's something that you desire. That's something that you also want to put on your action board, that you would like to create that for yourself. And that that feeling, that visceral response that you feel in your body is like, oh, that's an indicator that I really want that. Wow, cool. And thanks to that person, I get to see it. And that's the difference between people that ultimately get to that future self that they want to get to and the people that stay stuck is we can stay in our limitations so much and we hold on to these negative emotions so much that our world is tainted by our emotion. So there's a term, and I've discussed it in this podcast as well, hedonic tone. And it basically is around the notion that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are in our current emotional state. If I am insecure, I am going to see everything from that lens. Which is why let's now pivot to relationships for a second. If I'm an insecure girl, I'm going to see every other girl as a threat and every other girl wanting my man and every other, like, right? And I get jealous and then I might get possessive or really clingy to my boyfriend. Now, am I seeing the world? Does everyone want my man? Is everything a threat? Like, no, it's actually not the reality of the world. It's just that's your vantage point. And so, going back to the emotion versus the feeling, it's okay to have the emotion. That's right. That's what came up with one of my clients today, actually, was she was like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't be feeling like this anymore. I'm like, okay, but you 3 years from now or wherever you're going, the ultimate you that you have created, there's going to be times where she actually does experience these exact same emotions that you're trying to get rid of. Except she's going to be like, oh, there's that emotion again. Oh, yep, there's that limiting belief again. Let me squash that. I'm not available for that. And we'll literally talk to the emotion. So in responding to the question that we had inside of the academy about like, how do I shift from identifying from the feeling? Well, number one, understanding that emotion is primary, but you have a choice to feel a certain way. And then the other thing is the moment we recognize ourselves as the observer of the emotion and the feeling and not the feeling. We have created a degree of separation. From that separation, we lose that intensity. So that emotion becomes less intense. Once we can make it less hot feeling, that emotion is not as intense, then we can actually have our prefrontal cortex involved where we can have our rational thinking, right? Not only that, when you recognize the emotion as this is something that's happening inside of your body and that it's not you, you're not identifying, I'm not angry, I'm experiencing anger. There's a difference. You are not angry, you're experiencing anger. So when you say something like, oh, I'm feeling the sensation of anger, it's a recognition for you that you understand you're feeling angry, right? But you're not identifying with it. You are not allowing your body to be consumed with it. The mind-body connection is so profound that the moment you're like, I'm angry, and your body goes there and your mind like agrees with your body, boom, you become one with your emotion, but you're not your emotion. Your emotion is something that happens within your body in response to something. It is not who you are. But when we claim it as such, then it's very hard to separate us from it. But when we can create some distance between the emotions that we have, then they become a lot easier to stop in their tracks. Now, being emotionally intelligent means being able to stop those unpleasant feeling emotions and then processing them. So like kind of like allowing yourself to go there. Man, I did a process today, okay? Oh my gosh. I cried today because I could feel the emotion coming. I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to go there. We have 2 minutes. Let's go. And I released, and then I was able to get back to feeling really great. Now, if I wasn't aware of that emotion coming up and I didn't feel the discomfort in my body, do you know what that would have led to? A bad mood all day. And this is what happens because we're not aware enough and we're not in our bodies enough to really pick up the cues and the nuances that tell us, hey, something is off. So when we can become present with our bodies and notice those subtle things and be like, okay, yep, I'm feeling a sensation of, name it, name the sensation, I'm feeling it, where, you can even show where it in your body, is it all over your body, is it mostly in your skin, is it in your stomach, is it in your throat, like where is it, then again, you're creating distance between you and the emotion, and then you can get rid of that, like process it, release, and then you can again be vibrating at that higher emotion, that higher frequency emotion. And then you can also, when you are feeling really great, and this is like, you know, advanced level emotional intelligence, is you know those days when you're feeling really good and you are like, yes, like doubling down on this. It's having absolutely zero judgment when you have your off days. And as women, we need to be so gentle with ourselves because there are certain days of the month where it is almost impossible for you to feel like your radiant, most explosive, like, oh my gosh, I'm so magnetic self, because you're in your luteal phase where that is not the energy of that phase. And so there are times where you need to honor that. And then there's times when you're going to be like fully like in that high energy. And when you have built that emotional competence, you can feel that high frequency and you're like, yes. Like for me, I'm like, yes, God, more of this. Thank you. Doubling down. And I really go into it. Like I might even be like putting music on and I'm like washing the dishes and I'm just like, yes, anchoring in. So anchoring into the really, really good emotions of being like, yes, may this be my vibrating emotion for more and more and more. I'm welcoming more of this. And then when you're not feeling so hot, you can be like, okay, let's sit with this emotion. Let's process. Let's be with it. Not avoiding, being with it, moving through it. That's the difference. So to wrap up, because I feel like we do need to have that understanding between the emotion and the feeling. Never judge yourself for your emotion. Recognize that it is just a feeling in your body. It's a sensation in your body. And that your judgment of it, your observation of it, is going to dictate how you feel. And that ultimately you have the power to choose how you feel. Someone can really do something rude to you first thing in the morning. And like, please understand that if that puts you in a bad mood for the next 3 hours, like, you're straight up in victim mindset. Straight up. Because how in the heck are you going to give someone that much control over your life? You can be angry at the moment, and then you can choose to decide, like, that person's having a bad day, or that has nothing to do with me, or send them prayers or whatever. But you have the choice whether to hold somebody's frequency or to choose your own.